Few optional softer, quicker tire teams can use in the race.
A little faster for us, not a whole lot, maybe a tenth and a half or so, but it didn't sustain it for more than about six or seven laps.
Kyle Larson was quickest in practice. Meanwhile, Regan Smith is filling in for the injured Eric Almirola. He'd have to advance through the open race to make the All-Star.
You know, the most important thing is him getting healthy and him doing the right things to get back into his race car. But in the meantime, somebody's got to fill that void, and for this weekend, it's me, and I'm excited to hop in the 43. It's a pretty famous race car to be getting in.
Our live All-Star race coverage starts Saturday night at 5:30 Eastern. I'm Woody Kane. This is NASCAR Today on the Motor Racing Network.
And just like that, hour number three is underway. It's the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire. Remember, Linder Tire keeps you rolling during all your road trips this summer. LinderTire.com. Check them out in Grinnell, North Liberty, and Iowa City. That's where we're at today. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. We're at the Coach's Corner. Stop on in and say hi. 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard. Derek handed out some great prizes today. All you got to do is just walk in the door. Pretty self-explanatory. Happy hour runs until 7 o'clock tonight. $2.50 domestic bottles, $2 domestic pints, a little college softball on some of the TVs. Some of them tuned to ESPN, already gearing up for Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals between Boston and Cleveland tonight. That game is coming your way on two of our three frequencies, 1600 AM, the main gym, as well as 106.3 FM, the South Gym here in Iowa City. If you're a 107.5 FM listener in the Cedar Rapids area, our North Gym will take you to Kauffman Stadium tonight, where the Kansas City Royals play host to the Minnesota Twins. It's Hector Santiago on the mound for Minnesota. He's opposed by Nate Karns, the former Tampa Bay pitcher who now calls Kansas City home. 7:10 first pitch expected in that game tonight. And speaking of baseball, Iowa and Illinois set to get underway game two of their doubleheader today at Lou Boudreaux Field in Champaign, scheduled for a 6:36 start. So that will be in roughly 30 minutes. Iowa falling in game one today to the Illini by a score of 12-8. One of the bright spots, however, Robert Nystrom going deep with another home run. Speaking of homers, Jalen Davis had two more for the Colonels last night. They were winners on the road 6-3 over Wisconsin. They're back in action tonight at 6:35, and we'll get you an update on their score coming up on our final Midwest One Bank Big Board update before we leave you tonight. The big news in Eastern Iowa: the Hawkeyes and their athletic department have decided to settle outstanding lawsuits with former administrator Jane Meyer and former field hockey coach Tracy Griesbaum. Meyer is going to ultimately wind up with $2.33 million. Griesbaum gets $1.5 million. She doesn't even go to court. That case was set to start next month. And the law firm representing both Meyer and Griesbaum, which had been working for about 2.5 years on this case without pay, is in line for $2.685 million. Add it all up, and it totals $6.5 million that the Iowa Athletic Department will be on the hook for. It is the Athletic Department paying the settlement, not the University of Iowa, so there is some separation there, although it's a black eye for both institutions. 319-366-1600. That doubles as the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. And I have a feeling that this may come up today on Love It or Leave It, which we are ready to do right now.
If you don't love it, leave it. Let the song that I'm singing be a warning.
Two choices, one answer.
We either love it or we leave it.
It's okay. Ricky gave us permission to do this.
So we want to make sure moving forward that we have the okay to call that segment Love It or Leave It. Since you're sort of the owner.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Number one.
All right, Todd. Fold them before the river.
That's exactly what Iowa decided to do today with these court cases. If you're a poker player, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And Iowa, they got their hole cards. They felt pretty good about them. Maybe they were chasing a straight. Maybe they thought they could draw out to a flush. I don't know. but Bruce Harreld gave Gary Barta a 5-year extension last year amidst all of this going on, this black cloud, if you will, hanging over the athletic department. And now Iowa has made the decision, and I believe rightfully so, to not chase the final three cards, to continue the poker analogy, but they're going to fold their cards, push them into the center of the table, and walk away. Just the money is gone. The money doesn't matter. It's over. Don't chase. And I think this is a good call on Iowa's part. Scott Docterman from landof10.com agrees as well. He's got a really good piece available that I'll tweet out here in a second regarding today's decision. The headline says it all. Right or wrong, Iowa had no alternative but to settle with Jane Meyer and Tracy Griesbaum. He points out over 1,000 days of drama between Gary Barta and these two women ultimately comes to a head today, and Iowa settles for $6.5 million. The question is whether or not Barta himself will ultimately survive this, but Iowa did make the right decision. Love it.
Number two.
Panicking SEC and ACC coaches.
Todd, we touched on it a little bit yesterday, but the NCAA on May the 8th decided that an early signing period for football would be instilled. There's one in basketball. There's one in several other NCAA-sanctioned sports. And finally, football will have an early signing period. It'll be 3 days, December the 20th through the 22nd, coming up in 2017. So a couple of months before the actual signing day, there will be an early signing period for prospects if they are intent on signing with a school to sign on the dotted line before Christmas. And I absolutely love this. I talked about it yesterday. The panicking SEC and ACC coaches tell you all you need to know about what this rule is going to do, because those are the teams that are panicking. Mark Richt at Miami, a blue blood program. Nick Saban at Alabama, a blue blood program. Pretty much across the board in the Big Ten, almost every school supports it. Which school doesn't, you ask? Ohio State, a blue blood program. The reason they don't like this is because the food chain of recruiting in college football comes down to February 6th, February 7th, whatever the first Wednesday or Tuesday and Monday of the month of February. It comes down to then when those programs will bring in committed players to go on official visits and try to sway them. Maybe they weren't their top target initially, but they realize that maybe they're down on numbers and they found a scholarship. They can add another scholarship player before that Wednesday in February, and they bring in committed players. And now with the early signing period, they're not going to be able to do that as easily, and that has them panicking. And you talk about things that would kind of balance the parity in college football and give a chance to the little guy, or maybe not even the little guy, maybe the mid-level programs like, say, Iowa, like, say, Northwestern, Michigan State, Missouri, some of these regional programs that have shown the ability every once in a while to climb up in the rankings into the top 10 or top 5. Maybe they can get some of those big-time prospects like an A.J. Epenesa and not have to rely on the family ties to do so. So I absolutely love the fact that these SEC coaches and ACC coaches who have such easy recruiting ties, who can recruit on their name alone, are panicking a little bit.
Number three.
All right, Todd, if you're happy and you know it.
That would be Happ, H-A-P-P. Why? I'm talking about Ian Happ of the Cubs, who continues now in 6 games of Major League action to force the hand of the Cubs front office and manager Joe Maddon. A lot of Cub fans are expecting him to stay at the big league level, and I've changed my tune on this. Originally, a couple days ago, I thought send him back down to AAA. Maybe I wanted to go see him up close and personal at Principal Park. Maybe I was being a little selfish. But at the end of the day, if he continues doing what he's doing offensively, he's made some decent defensive stops, too, for the Cubs in the outfield. He's showing the versatility of a guy who fits into a Joe Maddon-type team. And I certainly would not be very envious of Maddon having to make the decision on who sits and who plays if Happ does remain at the big league level, because they're not going to keep him on the north side of Chicago just to occupy a bench spot now that Jason Hayward is back off the disabled list. But I think Happ needs to stay up with his team and continue doing what he's doing. And sometimes it's not the veterans that pull you out of a slump or a tailspin. Sometimes it's an unexpected spark from a young player. Remember, I don't think the Cubs had plans on calling Happ up anytime soon. They had the decision made for them last week when Chris Bryant fell ill. Addison Russell's shoulder started bothering him. Hayward had the knuckle issue. They didn't have enough guys to fill out the roster, so they needed Happ out of desperation. He's played himself, in my opinion, into every day at bats, and it'll be very fascinating to see how Joe Maddon moves forward trying to keep everybody happy on that roster, because what happens a lot of times when a team wins the World Series, whether it's a good thing or not, guys' egos tend to get a little larger. They come into some of the decisions a little bit. It affects clubhouses. There's no denying that exists. And somebody's ego is going to get bruised here, probably on a daily basis, because guys are going to have to sit. Guys are going to have to take a reduction in playing time. But at the end of the day, what's better than one World Series ring, or what's better than one National League pennant? Well, that would be two of them, and that's what the Cubs are ultimately playing for this year. Happ stays up. Guys have to swallow their pride, and you play him as long as he's doing what he's doing.
Number four.
Over 6.5.
The NCAA, FBS, and actually Power 5, to narrow it down more, win totals have come out from the Vegas sports book today, and the Iowa Hawkeyes win total is at 6.5. And the question marks about this team going into the summer, they're well documented. You know them by now. Quarterback, wide receiver, the new offensive coordinator, the fact that the what was expected to be one of the leading receivers on this team has just been, I'm not going to say kicked off the team, but he is no longer on the team. Germanique Smith is no longer a part of the Iowa football program. And then there's the schedule. And it's interesting because these past few years, this Iowa program has gained national notoriety for, quote-unquote, having a weak schedule. But look at this year's schedule. You start off with Wyoming. You know what? That's no gimme. Then you go on the road to Iowa State. I think Iowa State's going to be a bowl team this year. You have a gimme against North Texas. Then you play at home against Penn State. And then you go on the road at Michigan State. This team right now, with all the question marks, ask me again in August, I'll get to that. But this team right now, I could easily see going 1-4 out of the gate before heading to Illinois on October the 7th. And then you ask the rest of the big games. You have to go on the road at Northwestern, at home against Ohio State. Very next week, you got to go on the road and play Wisconsin. You round out the season with a game in Lincoln against the Huskers on Black Friday. I'm going to have to say under. I'm going to leave the over 6.5 right now with all the question marks. Ask me again after Kids Day. Maybe I'll have another opinion. But right now, I'm going to say under, and I'll go with 6 wins for the 2017 Hawkeyes.
Number 5.
All right, Todd. Graduate transfers need to go in college hoops.
That seems to be the line of thinking proffered by Fran McCaffrey. The Iowa basketball coach made some comments on the iClub circuit the other night that certainly caught my attention, and we'd be talking a lot more about them today had the University of Iowa not announced the settlement in the Jane Meyer and Tracy Griesbaum lawsuits. Maybe we'll revisit this come Monday, but Fran McCaffrey's not a fan of graduate transfers. He thinks the system is being abused. He thinks there are a lot of people up to nefarious activities as far as steering guys to schools. You've got players who are starting, transferring so that they can go elsewhere. Essentially, one of the things that he points to, the reduction in the number of Cinderella teams come NCAA tournament time, because what we've essentially seen created before our very eyes is the idea of college free agency for the most part. But I'm going to leave this as far as getting rid of this rule, because the rule is there for everybody to play by. You either choose to utilize it to your advantage or you build your program a different way. Fran McCaffrey wants to build his program a different way, and that's fine. Steve Prohm at Iowa State, on the other hand, wants to do things a little differently, at least for right now, especially with this coming season being a rebuilding year. They thought they had Darius McNeil coming in out of Virginia. He ultimately wants out and is going to go to Western Kentucky. You play with transfers, you get burned by transfers. It's not exactly the most stable route to go, but it can shore things up for a program pretty quickly. I don't think the rule needs to go, but as a college basketball fan, I can understand where Fran McCaffrey is coming from in thinking that this is troubling, because to a certain extent it is. It is essentially free agency. But as far as getting rid of the rule, I don't think we need to go that far.
Number six.
LeBron James, not a unanimous all-first-team NBA pick.
The first team NBA, all NBA team was released today, and James Harden, or no, that was yesterday, excuse me, I apologize. It was released yesterday. James Harden was the only unanimous selection for all NBA first team. Russell Westbrook got 99 of 100 votes, and I think that's ridiculous in itself. A guy who averages a triple-double, not a unanimous all NBA selection, and then there's LeBron James. And I've gotten a few, a little bit of blowback, because I feel like every week I'm talking about this guy, and some people really, really don't like LeBron James, especially in Eastern Iowa. But here's the fact: if you think that LeBron James is not an All NBA first teamer, then you don't watch a lot of basketball. And for somebody out there, whichever, and you know what, I'm one of those people that doesn't tend to fret over whether someone's unanimous or first ballot or whatever the case may be when it comes to postseason awards and when it comes to Hall of Fame voting. But this guy is probably a top two player of all time, and I thought personally, watching him for most of the season, this is the best LeBron James that we've seen. And you can talk about him resting. And I brought that up earlier. He did sit out some games. That's not his call. That's the call of the front office in Cleveland, and clearly it's working. Clearly it is benefiting this team right now as they try to defend their title from last season. But the fact that somebody who follows basketball, who writes about the NBA, had him as a second-team All-NBA selection is baffling. I leave this.
Number seven.
All right, Todd, the early bird gets the worm.
This is another recruiting take. I'm not really a huge recruiting guy, but, again, you've got two schools of thought when it comes to football recruiting. And we've seen this come to a head now a couple weeks ago. Brian Ferentz, Iowa's offensive coordinator, made, I wouldn't call them incendiary comments on a Des Moines radio station, but he took some jabs at the way Iowa State and Minnesota go about their business on the recruiting trail. And they do it by extending offers early to kids, very early in some instances. But a lot of times it pays off, and one of the instances was yesterday with Creston's Trevor Downing, who's widely regarded as the top offensive line recruit in Iowa, the number two overall recruit in the state in the 2018 class, according to 24/7 Sports. One of the reasons that he cited for committing to Iowa State was the relationship that he built with the Iowa State coaching staff early on. This is an example of a school extending an offer to a kid early, getting in on him, staying in on him, and ultimately landing the prize. It doesn't always work out. Not every school does it, but I don't think there's one right or wrong way to recruit as long as you're doing it legally. And again, a little bit of a war of words, if you will, between Iowa and some of the programs that do things differently than the Hawkeyes. But in this instance, it pays off for Iowa State. Matt Campbell's landed three recruits in 3 days. He certainly doesn't have any issue recruiting players, and he's not afraid to offer early. And we'll see how things go once the NCAA brings on the early signing period. because it is going to make things a little bit more difficult for coaches like Matt Campbell and PJ Fleck, guys who like to push early offers, because if the kid takes it and signs in that early period, you're locked in. So something to watch as a college football fan moving forward.
Number eight.
The homeless, I almost thought that said hopeless, the homeless Rams and Chargers.
Well, hopeless would fit as well. But the Rams and Chargers and the stadium project that is led by Rams owner Stan Kroenke in Inglewood was pushed back until 2021 because of the record amount of rain in Southern California. And I'm not going to make light of that. It was a bad situation for everyone in Southern California. But what it did is it made sure that the Rams and the Chargers have to play another season in their interim facilities. For the Chargers, it's a 25,000 seat stadium in Carson, California that's used for the MLS. And for the Rams, it's the Los Angeles Coliseum, which is also the home of the USC Trojans. And having watched, watched the highlights of a couple of Rams games and seen the pictures on Twitter.
I did not watch.
Having seen the pictures of what the Coliseum looked like late in that season with pretty much a half capacity crowd in attendance to watch that horrible football team, and to see the way that a lot of LA fans watch the Dodgers. The Dodgers are a successful Major League Baseball program, but even when they are down, even when they're good, you have late arriving and early leaving crowds, and you always see a half-full stadium. The Rams thinking that they can just go along for three more years and be as bad as they have been, and a stadium is just going to fix everything, and same for the Chargers, it's ridiculous. I think that L.A. is a market where you have to win or they're not going to show up, regardless of how beautiful of a facility you build. Maybe in 2021, after a couple of 2-14 seasons for the Rams and 7-9 seasons for the San Diego Chargers, you get a capacity crowd on opening day of the NFL season. But once that first loss, second loss, third loss comes along, the fans are going to lose interest, and they're going to lose interest in a hurry. I love this.
Number 9.
All right, Todd, Milwaukee's best.
Old Milwaukee's best. This is actually with regard to the team that's playing right now at Wrigley Field. The Brewers up 6-3 on the Cubs, looking like they're going to end that three-game winning streak, and doing so with I'll call it a ragtag bunch, because Ryan Braun's on the disabled list. There's a lot of guys that you really have no idea who they are if you're not a big baseball fan. They started a player, a rookie pitcher today, who had spent 11 years in the minor leagues in a couple different organizations, stuck with it, wind up grinding it out, and makes his big league debut at Wrigley Field today. I don't think he's in line for the win from when he left the game, but the Brewers and what Craig Counsell has been able to do has really caught my attention, because I did not expect much of anything out of them this year. I thought they would take turns with the Reds occupying the basement in the NL Central. It turns out the team that's really disappointing in that division this year has been Pittsburgh so far. I don't know whether the Brewers are going to be able to keep this up, but they've certainly been fun to watch, and I'm going to enjoy watching them play the other teams in the NL Central, just not the Cubs. It's 6-3 right now on the top of the eighth, by the way.
Number 10.
We'll end on this one, baseball-themed. Keep on flipping, Jose.
Jose Bautista, you have to give it to him. His numbers may be dipping, but he is staying right on track in what he has done from the beginning and what he has done from the 2015 playoffs. He flips his bat, and he has some epic bat flips, one that caused a disturbance with the Atlanta Braves. The Atlanta Braves took exception. The things kind of spiraled out of control. Kevin Pillar was suspended for a comment, a homophobic slur that he used at Jason Mott after Jason Mott plunked him. But here is the deal with Jose Bautista. throughout all of this, he doesn't care about the tired, unwritten, and old and obsolete rules of baseball. He doesn't care if the other team has their feelings hurt. And how I respond to the other team who has their feelings hurt is, don't give up a home run. I follow the NFL, I follow college football, I follow high school football to a certain extent, and I see more celebration, I see more showmanship in high school football than I do in Major League Baseball sometimes. So pardon me if I don't feel sorry for another team, for a pitcher who has his feelings hurt after giving up a home run. I love the fact that Jose Bautista brings a little bit of flair, a little bit of dramatic to the game. I know that there is obviously, within reason, a line to be crossed. I don't believe he's crossed it. Keep on flipping that bat, Jose. I love this.
And that'll do it for another edition of Love It or Leave It. We're overdue to step aside and take a quick break. When we come back, another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Colonel's about to get underway on the road at Wisconsin. Still waiting for game number two between the Hawkeyes and the Fighting Illini. We'll tell you how they did in game one. It's the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire at the Coach's Corner in Iowa City. We return after this.
More coffee?
Thanks, Jenna. So, my big $10 breakfast here is on Mediacom because I ordered their new Extreme 100 Bronze package on sale for just $69.98 a month for 1 year, which includes an extra $10 off a month to spend any way I want. What does Mediacom's Extreme 100 Bronze have, Janet?
It's got digital TV with over 125 video music channels, 14,000 free on-demand titles, TiVo service, internet up to 100 meg, including the fastest in-home Wi-Fi, and unlimited nationwide calling.
It's all-in-one technology, or TV and internet that really work together.
So, you out there, why don't you order?
Yeah, call 1-800-SIMPLIFY to get Mediacom's new Extreme packages starting as low as $69.98 a month for a year. Call 1-800-SIMPLIFY for details.
Limited time offer available to qualified new Mediacom customers only. Price does not include installation, modem rental, activation, taxes, fees, and local broadcast station surcharge. Usage allowance applies. Additional charges and restrictions may apply. Not available in all areas. Call Mediacom for more details.
Public Clearing Home is here at the home of Barb White, winner of our $5,000 a week forever sweepstakes. Let's go surprise her with the good news. Oh my, oh well, I've never seen anything quite like this, folks. It appears Barb has let her lawn go for a few years, maybe. We'll just go around the side. Oh, well, that's not gonna work.
Ooh, is that Public Clearing Home? Did I win?
Yes, ma'am, you won. We've got the check right here. Just need to get it to you.
Walk by the wind chimes next to the bug zapper.
Okay, sure. Okay,
duck your head under. Oh, I can't believe I won. This is just so exciting. Oh, dear. Are you okay?
You have a moat? You know what? We'll mail you the check. I hope you have a gigantic mailbox.
I do, in fact, right next to my gnome nativity scene. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Need landscaping? Get a loan. Go to DePaco. DePaco Community Credit Union. We got you covered. With low rates and local service, getting money has never been easier. Apply now at DePaco.com.
DePaco Community Credit Union. Equal opportunity lender.
Here's today's $100 a day in the month of May phrase. Sponsored by Toyota of Iowa City.
But we have two huge topics to get to here. One of them is sort of fun, and the other one is, I think, on the verge of becoming the biggest story in sports.
Be caller number 6 right now at 319-366-1600 and win with KGYM.
Optimized lines of sight, check. Easy controls, check. Zero turn, engaged.
Gravely zero turn, pro turn 400, you are cleared for takeoff. Lower your deck and roll.
Roger that, tower.
Gravely zero turn mowers from City Tractor and North Liberty help you fly through mowing, use less fuel, and cover more ground in less time. And let's face it, have some fun too. Your mission starts at locally owned City Tractor, just off the I-380 North Liberty exit and at citytractor.com.
Where you're cleared to landscape.
You heard it there, folks. The cue to call, $100 a day in the month of May, courtesy of Toyota of Iowa City. We'll find out who our winner is in just a bit. Time now for a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. We'll start at Lou Boudreau Field in Champaign, where the Iowa baseball team dropped game one of a doubleheader today, 12-8 to the Fighting Illini. That comes on the heels of last night's 6-5 win over Illinois. In that game, first baseman Jake Adams tied the school record for home runs in a single season with number 22. His next one will give him sole possession of the record. That was part of a third inning in which Iowa went back-to-back-to-back with Mason McCoy and Robert Nystrom also homering. Game number two of that doubleheader today between the Hawks and the Fighting Illini scheduled for a 6:36 start in Champaign. Iowa State landed the top offensive lineman in the state yesterday when Creston's Trevor Downing committed to the Cyclones. 24/7 Sports has Downing ranked as the number 20 offensive tackle nationally in the 2018 class. Today, Iowa State picked up a commitment from Florida cornerback Anthony Johnson Jr. out of St. Petersburg. That's three commitments in 3 days for Iowa State head coach Matt Campbell. Iowa State basketball news, Virginia transfer Darius McNeil, who was set to join the Cyclones, has asked for a release. He will instead attend Western Kentucky. The Cedar Rapids Colonels remained in first place in the Western Division of the Midwest League standings with a 6-3 win over the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers last night. Outfielder Jalen Davis remained red hot at the plate. He hit two more home runs in the victory. That gives him a Midwest League best 9 to date. He's hit 5 homers in the last 3 games, all Colonels victories. Same two teams at it again tonight in Appleton, 6:35 first pitch. And the state track meet continues today in Des Moines. Yesterday, future Iowa football player Tristan Wirfs became a 3-time state champ in the discus. My alma mater, Central DeWitt, winning the distance relay today.
And I also checked with Jeff Downing, our associate producer back on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. No relation to Trevor Downing. I had to check that just in case.
By the way, Carmen of Cedar Rapids is the winner of the $100 today. And Jeff notes here, as we have a musical accompaniment for this, that it's Carmen's birthday.
Wow.
Today.
Well,
so
that's happy birthday, Carmen.
Happy birthday. You got $100 to spend courtesy of KGYM and Toyota of Iowa City. Again, we're doing that every day during the month of May. Today's only May 19th, so we've still got several days to go. Now, it is only Monday through Friday, and when we're on the air, so Memorial Day is not going to be part of the promotion because there's no local programming that day. We're going to be off so that you can enjoy Major League Baseball. Baseball like the Twins and the Royals coming your way tonight on 107.5 FM, the North Gym. Miguel Sano, 9 of his last 18 at the plate. He is dialed in. The Twins will send Hector Santiago to the mound against Nate Karns in Kansas City this evening. You can hear it on the North Gym at 7 o'clock. 7:10 is the scheduled first pitch time. Listeners on 1600 AM and 106.3 FM, the South Gym here in Iowa City, will get game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Boston Celtics. That game at TD Garden tonight. The Cavaliers, 12 consecutive postseason wins. They win tonight, that'll be 13. They will then tie the NBA record, which is 13 consecutive wins held by the Showtime Lakers back in 1988-1989. Magic Johnson, James Worthy, and all those great teams, Lakers, Celtics, and then the Pistons came along, and then the Bulls, and then I stopped caring about the NBA at some point, shortly after Larry Bird retired.
Can you pinpoint exactly? Okay, well, there you go.
Shortly after Larry Bird retired, and I gave up on the NBA right around, I would say, the start of Kobe Bryant, Allen Iverson, at the beginning of their careers was pretty much, not because of them, but that's probably the line of demarcation. Like, okay, a lot of the guys that I liked watching when I was younger were retiring or aging out, or they were no longer in their prime, and that's when I started losing a little bit of interest.
Yeah, I never really gained that interest in the NBA. I follow it from afar and have to, like you said last year, for my job. But I just don't understand to a certain extent I do, because people don't like to see success for some reason. But every time I bring up LeBron James's name, someone brings up why Michael Jordan did it better. And I sit here and look at those two's games, and they don't really compare very much. A lot of things that Michael Jordan did well, LeBron does a little bit better. When it comes to an intangible standpoint, maybe Michael Jordan did have more of a killer instinct, more of a get me the ball when the game is on the line mentality. But the whole thing about resting players, that is something that has come along in the 2000s. That's not LeBron's call. And we've gotten two texts today on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line when I bring up LeBron James. Oh, well, Michael Jordan never rested. Yeah, well, you're right. He didn't. But I don't understand why that comes into an argument when you're comparing those two. Because you look at LeBron right now, he's 32 years old. He needs a little bit more rest, and it is clearly paying off because the Cavaliers have a chance, in my opinion, against the Golden State Warriors because of number 23.
How about this for a scorching hot take? Michael Jordan was a great basketball player.
Yes, he was.
LeBron James is a great basketball player.
Yes, he is.
Scorching hot take.
That is a hot take.
Let it be. Let it be. Cavaliers, by the way, I think will tie that record tonight and beat the Celtics. But don't rule out Isaiah Thomas, all 5'9 of him. It's a fun little player. I have been paying attention a little bit to the postseason. Not a ton. I'm not getting on the Celtics website and ordering an Isaiah Thomas jersey anytime soon.
What about a Jay Crowder jersey? Would you enjoy one of those?
No.
Marcus Smart?
No. I've got my Larry Bird,
okay,
Mitchell and Ness throwback jersey, and that's all I need at this point. All we need at this point is to get caught up, and that means stepping aside from the coach's corner for just a little bit. When we come back, we will put the finishing touches on another edition of the Road Trip here in Iowa City. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way on all three frequencies, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids, and all across eastern Iowa on 1600 AM. Back after this.
If you finally decided to address your hearing loss, the MD Hearing Aid Air is a medical-grade hearing aid that costs up to 90% less than traditional hearing aids. Designed by a Chicago doctor, the MD Hearing Aid Air has a sleek, nearly invisible profile. This digital hearing aid incorporates technology and features found in hearing aids costing thousands of dollars. The Air offers advanced noise reduction, making speech clearer and virtually eliminating annoying background noise. Three environmental settings put you in control. You select the best setting for your location. Call 1-800-758-2010. Over 100,000 satisfied customers have already made the call. Call right now for our exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-758-2010. Satisfaction guaranteed. That's 1-800-758-2010. 1-800-758-2010.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com salutes the employee of the month. The one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Hey, Dave, why is the other Dave chopping down a tree out front?
Well, Mr. Employee of the Month, you said you needed some set.
I said I needed that report ASAP, as in right away.
Oh, so what does that have to do with the tree?
Oh, boy.
We believe local businesses should be packed with more local employees of the month and fewer Daves. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
It's 6:42. Welcome back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn at the Coach's Corner in Iowa City. Another KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire. Remember, they'll keep you rolling during all your road trips this summer. If you're in need of new tires or any automotive work that they can do, check them out in person in Grinnell, North Liberty, or Iowa City. They also have a website, that being LinderTire.com. Poll question available for you today at KGYMRadio.com. Did Iowa do the right thing in settling the Jane Meyer and Tracy Griesbaum lawsuits? Yes or no? Yes, currently winning in the vote. $6.5 million committed to settling both the Meyer lawsuit as well as the lawsuit by her partner, the former field hockey coach Tracy Griesbaum. She's going to get $1.5 million. Meyer will ultimately wind up with $2.33 million. And the law firm that was doing both work for both women receives $2.685 million. Emil's Hideaway's on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. It's been the dominant subject of discussion today on the program. Did Iowa do the right thing in settling this? I think they did. It ultimately is another black eye, but it's one that's going to heal up relatively quickly. Maybe grab a steak out of the refrigerator and slap it on there. You ever have a black eye, Alex?
I have.
Have you? Did you do the steak on the black eye? They say the enzymes in the meat is supposed to help.
I can't remember. It was so long ago. I probably did. Either that or peas or something.
I had one a long time ago when I was a kid, and I won't go into how I got it, but needless to say, we didn't have a whole lot of steak laying around the house when I was a kid. So we didn't exactly go that route into trying to make that shiner go away. But now the big question is, does Gary Barta survive this? He's got a five-year contract extension that he got last year. He'd be in line for a $2.3 million buyout if he were to get canned this summer. And again, I don't know the specifics on this, but if he is ultimately responsible for costing the athletic department $6.5 million because of these lawsuits, I would think that that would be cause. I think you would be able to fire him and say, I don't care what the contract says, this was mismanagement. Now, maybe he takes Iowa to court if that happens, and maybe Iowa would ultimately wind up settling with him, which would be a tremendous irony, if you ask me. But I like Gary Barta. I've said it a number of times. I think he's done a really good job with the athletic department, shepherding them into the current era of keeping up with the Joneses, the facilities, the fundraising, the hiring of Fran McCaffrey to try to right the wrong that was the Todd Licklider era, keeping Kirk Ferentz happy and here in Iowa City, which I know isn't a necessarily popular move among some football fans, keeping Tom Brands and the wrestling program happy. Gary Barta has delivered on a lot of good things for the department. Unfortunately, he ultimately also made the decision to bring Gene Taylor on board from North Dakota State and to put him in a position where he was doing the same work that Jane Meyer was doing, getting paid $70,000 more, and it's the appearance that this was punishment for Jane Meyer speaking out and trying to fight the athletic department or build a case against the athletic department for discrimination. It doesn't matter. Scott Docterman at Land of 10 wrote that Gene Taylor ultimately wound up being the best athletic administrator that they've had at Iowa in a really long time, and I'm talking decades. That doesn't matter that Gene Taylor was competent at his job and was a good addition to the athletic department. All that matters is to an independent jury, they looked at that and said, you brought in a guy, paid him $70,000 more for roughly the same work, and then pushed her out of her job and reassigned her elsewhere, and ultimately she lost her job right around the same time that she was raising concerns over the firing of Tracy Griesbaum, who happens to be her same-sex partner. I don't blame a jury for looking at that and going, that was clearly a punitive action. You were trying to punish Jane Meyer. So Gary Barta is responsible for all of that. And ultimately, I think he winds up paying the price, and he'll do so with his job. The question is whether or not Iowa winds up having to pay him for paying that price.
And we talked about it in hour number one. There would seem to be cause for firing. And if Iowa does, in fact, have to terminate the contract of Gary Barta, we're going to find out whether he's going to be owed that $2.3 million buyout or whether he would be fired with cause. But I think what you just said right there, Todd, goes back to the discussion about the athletic department and them kind of feeling that they've done no wrong and they could do no wrong, and they had this case in the bag. And from everything that I was hearing, they had a lot on their side. But that right there, the timeline of events, and then bringing in Gene Taylor very shortly after she was Jane Meyer was fired, that on appearance does not look good, and especially in a civil case. I'm no legal expert, but I have taken several classes where they define the threshold of guilt when it comes to civil cases and when it comes to criminal cases. And the threshold of guilt in a civil case is much less than it is in a criminal case. So that right there, mixed with the timeline of circumstantial events, circumstantial evidence that Jane Meyer and her legal team put forth, won her the case and have sent the Iowa Athletic Department into somewhat of a tailspin. And it's just going to be interesting to see where the conclusion of this comes and what the events from now or what dominoes are going
to
fall.
The conclusion of our show is on the way after this. You're listening to the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on KGYM, coming to you live from the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City, where if you get your rear end right now, you've still got 10 minutes to enjoy one of the better happy hours in Iowa City. $2.50 domestic bottles and $2 domestic pints. It ends at 7 o'clock. Back with more after this.
At TCB Pool Hall in Iowa City, there won't be any jerks hanging over your shoulder screwing up your shot because they rent their full-size, emphasize full-size pool tables by the hour. And they got 10 of them, so that table's yours. Sunday and Mondays, come in and play free. Yes, I said free. General jocularity prevails. There's always interesting drinks, specials, darts, video games, and a full-size shuffleboard table, which, as we know, is the world's best drinking game. Play pool, drink cold beer at TCB Pool Hall on the Mall next to Mondo's Saloon, downtown Iowa City.
Summer can really shine a light on your damaged pavement. Fixing it can be more affordable than you think. Stop dodging those cracks and potholes and call Pate Asphalt. They can handle commercial parking lots, roadways, and your very own driveway. Serving the area for over 30 years, Pate Asphalt has decades of experience. Make your parking lot, roadway, and driveway look great. Pave it to last with Pate Asphalt. See them at pateasphalt.com.
April showers bring May dollars. Cash, 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 cash. KGYM is giving you a chance to win cash each day in May with $100 a day in the month of May. Listen each day to Mike and Mike in the Morning for a phrase from the show. Then later on the gym class in the Todd Brommelkamp Show, we'll play that morning's phrase. And caller number 6 will win $100. $100 a day in the month of May. Sponsored by Toyota of Iowa City. Right here on KGYM.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, helpwanted.com
salutes the employee of the month. The one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
What are you doing, Dave? We need help with payroll.
I'm doing squats, Mr. Employee of the Month. I'm taking your advice and I'm working my butt off.
That's not what I meant.
Glutes of steel. Feel them. Right here.
Oh, Dave, now I have to call HR.
We believe local businesses should be packed with more local employees of the month and fewer Daves. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, helpwanted.com. Local jobs that work.
6:52, welcome back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn at the Coach's Corner in Iowa City, and he's done it. We won't even wait for the next big board update. It's such great news, such a great story. We'll tell you right off the bat right now. Jake Adams just went deep in Champaign at Lou Boudreau Field, a solo shot to give the Hawkeyes a 1-0 lead in Game 2. 23 home runs on the season, a new Iowa single-season record. The guy who joined us on the program Monday, who wasn't even supposed to be an Iowa baseball player this year, he was supposed to be at the University of North Dakota until it dropped its baseball program. Iowa finds a way to get him some scholarship money. They plug him in at first base, and what a tremendous season Jake Adams has enjoyed. He's not done yet, folks. Iowa's still got the Big Ten tournament. Hell, he's still got some more at-bats today against the Illini, but the Hawkeyes looking to split today's doubleheader and take a little momentum into next week's Big Ten tournament. How great is that? I know we just talked to him earlier in the week, but what a great story.
It is, and the North Dakota getting rid of their program that late in the process, I just can't imagine, as someone who's seen the recruiting process pretty up close, I can't imagine the amount of stress that he was under to try to find another option, whether it was a walk-on option or a scholarship option or a Division II option. He found a Big Ten scholarship offer where he got 40% scholarship here to the University of Iowa, and as they say, the rest is history. But as I talked about, He comes in and most likely, I'm going to say this most likely, Todd, he will be here for 1 year, have one of the greatest seasons in the history of Iowa baseball, and then he'll be on to pro ball. And that's just an educated guess at this point, but most likely.
John Knapp, for those wondering, had the school record of 22 home runs during the 1986 season for the Hawkeyes. Final score to relay from Wrigley Field. The Cubs did wind up losing to the Brewers 6-3 in that rain-delayed series opener between the two teams at Wrigley Field. So the Cubs' three-game winning streak goes by the wayside. Billy Sims joined us on the program today, the 1978 Heisman Trophy winner in town for today and tomorrow. He's got a new barbecue restaurant. We chatted a little bit with him. You can catch the podcast at kgymradio.com. Talked a little baseball with Jack Dom today as well. We'll do so next Friday when he joins us again for Touching All Bases, his weekly segment. Time now for a Midwest One Bank Big Board update, your final one of the day. We already told you about the Iowa baseball team. Jake Adams hitting a school record 23rd home run of the season. Iowa with an early 1-0 lead in the top of the first inning, game two of that doubleheader. They lost game one 12-8 to the Illini, but they can take the series with a win in the nightcap. Iowa State landed the top offensive lineman in the state yesterday when Creston's Trevor Downing committed to the Cyclones. He's ranked as the second best player in the state and the 20th best offensive tackle nationally in the 2018 class by 24/7 Sports. Minnesota, Kansas State, and Iowa were said to be in on his services. Today, Iowa State picked up cornerback Anthony Johnson Jr. out of St. Petersburg, Florida. That makes three commitments in 3 days from Matt Campbell's team. The Cedar Rapids Colonels remained in first place in the Midwest League's Western Division last night with a 6-3 win over the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers. Same two teams back at it again tonight. Outfielder Jalen Davis hit not one but two home runs. He now leads the Midwest League with 9 round trippers. And the University of Iowa made the decision today to settle lawsuits with former administrator Jane Meyer and former field hockey coach Tracy Griesbaum. When everything is said and done, including legal fees, Iowa will be out $6.5 million. And that is the subject of our poll question today at kgymradio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway in Cedar Rapids. Did Iowa do the right thing by settling those lawsuits? And most of you listening today voting in the poll question said, yes, it did. NBA Eastern Conference Finals action is on tap for you on 1600 AM and 106.3 FM from Boston. It'll be game two between the Cavaliers and the Celtics. And then if you're listening right now on 107.5 FM, the North Gym. Minnesota Twins baseball on the road tonight in Kansas City at Kauffman Stadium, one of my favorite places to watch a Major League Baseball game. Love the K. Nate Karns for the home team Kansas City Royals. He'll be opposed by left-hander Hector Santiago. It's a 7:10 first pitch in Kansas City tonight. Join us coming up on Monday's program. We'll look back on the week that was, including the Preakness, the second leg of the horse racing Triple Crown. A lot to get to, including a couple Iowa topics that we didn't touch on today. Enjoy your weekend. That'll do it for another KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire.
ESPN Radio Sports Beat. From Charlotte, here's Dari Noka.
Now, you can't say that, Bradley Beal. All right, you can, but you sound like a fourth grader on a playground after getting knocked out of a tetherball tournament earlier than you thought you should, thus avoiding playing that six-foot-tall 10-year-old. Beal dropped this to CSN Mid-Atlantic. Quote, Cleveland didn't want to see us. I always said that, end quote. Okay, Bradley Beal, take your loss and move along like everybody else who's gotten dumped in these playoffs. Beal's Wizards failed to show up entirely twice in Boston and two more times couldn't get over the hump. Series over, season over. So it's real easy now to sit back while watching Cleveland light the Celtics up like a Christmas tree and suggest to the world that you could have beaten them. We'll just have to wait until next year to see if your brash post-defeat bravado has any merit. In 60 seconds, Michael Vick's next football game. At least he won't get hit.
This is Bill's Yard, and Bill's a grill master, not a grass expert. Still, no weeds belong in this backyard barbecue kingdom.
And with Scott's Turf Builder Weed and Feed, Bill's greasy thumb is just as good as a green thumb. Because Scott's thickens lawns to help crowd out over 50 pesky weeds. So Bill can defeat invaders, green up his lawn, and hold his spatula high. This is a Scott's Yard. Pick up Scott's Weed and Feed today.
Your car has lots of lights. You've got headlights, interior lights, the light that comes on when you open your glove box. But there's one light that's the pest of the bunch, your check engine light. And at AutoZone, we have the tools to help you troubleshoot the real problem for free. Whether it's something serious or something simple like a loose gas cap, you'll get a MyZone health report to help save you money and hassle down the road. So if your check engine light comes on, come on over to AutoZone and let's get you what you need.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
It's an interesting concept, but would you go watch it? A man by the name of Jeff Lewis came up with it. It's called the American Flag Football League, and he hopes to have 8 teams that open play in 2018. Now, the concept will be put to the test in one game next month, a game that Michael Vick will play in. That's kind of cool, and I'm sure there will be other NFL players who are part of the league when it launches for real, at least former players. But flag football, are you going to buy a ticket and watch? Because there are no live TV plans for that first season. Now, I think back to my college days. I'd play in my own flag football games, but would come up with every excuse possible to avoid going to watch my buddies play in theirs. I got a huge test in chemistry tomorrow. Oh, wait, hope you doesn't realize I'm not even taking chemistry. It's flag football, tailor-made for kids under 9 and college students to pretend they're good at sports. A pro flag football league? Again, it is an interesting concept, so props for that, but no thanks. I don't really care to watch it, not in person or on TV if it gets that far. With